has a great deal to do with whether or not you like who you see in the morning and what you see. And I have to tell you that I really meet very few people who get up and say, oh, yeah, looking good. I just don't meet a lot of people in that department. And you know what? The cosmetic industry counts on the fact that you don't have self-esteem. They bank on it. They promote it. I mean, do you know that? They promote it. I mean, have you ever seen those ridiculous ads where they show, like, this cream prevents aging lines and they have a 14-year-old on there? And you buy it? And you think, oh, I'll look 14 again? I mean, have you ever seen anything so ridiculous in your life? And yet you sit there and say, what's the name of that product? So I remember walking past this one counter. You know how they send in all these troops for doing makeovers at cosmetic counters, but never do they come on so seriously like a wolf pack as during the holiday season, right? And actually, they have two seasons that they highlight, which is the holiday and then before summer. Because these are the two cosmetic seasons, all right? Already, the day after Christmas, they start telling you you're going to look lousy for the summer. And if you listen to what the culture does to your physical self-esteem, and this is so important, is that it's forever telling you you're not perfect. It's forever telling you you're flawed. You never turn on the television and hear anyone say, you are gorgeous just the way you are. We have music that says that, but if you'll notice, it's always somebody singing to someone shattered on the floor. You're perfect just the way you are. Now pick up your pieces, you know. But it's never in a healthy moment. It's always after the major character's been battered and beaten, and then you want to throw them a bone at the end of it by saying you're perfect just the way you are. It's pathetic. And that is never sung to a man, let me add. Just for the record, I've never seen a woman sing to a man, you're perfect just the way you are. No, it's always sung to a woman limping there, saying, oh, you still love me, even though I'm 2 pounds heavier, and oh my God, it, much to my surprise, I've actually aged. And you watch yourself disintegrate, and then I listen to women do this thing. Every time they eat, they pull out that ridiculous mantra, I really shouldn't. You want to know something? I won't eat with anybody who does that. I don't enjoy that nonsense. If you're going to eat something, then enjoy it instead of this nonsense, I really don't do this, or it's really just a treat. Because what do you think that's going to do? Decalorize it? Make you feel better? And the point being, this is how you torment yourself, and that's part of the recreation of the self. Identify that voice inside of yourself. Because if you feel fundamentally horrible about your physical self, everything else I'm telling you is just going to be a washout. It's going to be a washout. Which is why the first place you go toward routing your self-esteem is changing whatever it is you want to change. If you want to change something about your physical body, or about yourself. You want to go for a makeover? Go for a makeover. You want to start taking care of yourself physically a little better? Then do it. But in the immortal words of William James, suffer not one exception. And therein lies the first seeds of self-esteem. When you can say to yourself, you know, I've had enough. That's it. I am going to work out. You don't even have to like do that 1,000,000,000 hours a day. Do you understand? What's at stake is whether or not you can say to yourself, I said yes, and in spite of weather and wind and exhaustion and children and work and this or that, I got off the couch and I went outside and I walked that 1 mile a day. Because it's not the mile you're after, it's the self-esteem that you squeeze out of that mile. And what happens is when you look at the mirror, then suddenly it's not a spineless, weak, excuse creating, blameful individual you're looking at. You're looking at someone you're actually starting to like. This is why, you know, when you say how, it doesn't take a gargantuan thing, because all it takes is one tiny act to start respecting yourself again. But that act has got to begin with reshaping one thing about your physical self that you don't like. And if you can do one thing, you'll do 1,000. Believe me, because what you're engaging is a power template, an archetypal force. That's what you're going after, okay? So I want to take you in a little bit of an active visualization to do this, because it's not necessary for me to say, okay, now feel good about your face and your ears. I just was interviewed for an article, and it came out in O Magazine this month, and it's on women and their rear ends. It wasn't my idea. All right. But the point is, can you imagine an article on men and their rear ends? Now, this is not to slam men by any means, but to show that a woman's self-esteem is rarely enhanced. Articles compensate and support her low self-esteem. But rarely do magazines tell you how to just manage your self-esteem that is oozing out of everything you do. Feeling good about yourself, looking good, representing yourself well, whatever, just esteeming in your esteem. Nobody says what to do with all your self-esteem on a good day. I would love to teach a class on when you have so much self-esteem that you can't sit down, what are you going to do? You know, but it just, if you look around, and here is something I just urge you to do, and that's develop the eye that says, I know what's really going on here. I'm falling under the spell of this magazine. I'm falling under the spell of this ad. And spellcasters are advertisers. All right? Marketing and advertising people archetypally are spellcasters. And that's what they do for a living. They create spells. Will this sell this? Can I convince somebody watching this ad that if they buy these shoes, their life's going to be perfect? I mean, it's like that nonsense I listen to about those little vitamin ads, like, I won't mention any names, though I could, where they show this couple and they're swimming around and they're silver-haired and they're ever so